Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Second down and 6. They're inside the 10, trying to regain the lead. Prescott under center, back looking, over the middle into the end zone. Hung on, Ferguson. First touchdown since the Truman administration.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we're always throwing out some appreciation for that call, as well as TJ Bass appreciation. I thought he did a very, very admirable job yesterday. But Corey has his hand over his face before we get to Wanker of the Weekend, and so I worry that this is bad.
It's not that bad.
Oh, great.
Today is Mavs Media Day. Also,
Derek Lively apparently grew 2 inches.
And Daniel Gafford says breakout season, SZN on the way. But Dennis Smith Jr. was on Locked On Mavs. Have you seen what he said?
No.
Nick Angstedt said he's going to put this on a shirt. All these changes, but I still got my dog, Dwight Powell. Dwight Powell's gotten more love in the last 3 weeks than in the history of the NBA.
29th best Maverick of all time.
Just thought I'd bring that to your world.
Yeah, good job. All right, now, it's time for Wanker of the Weekend. I don't know if you think that counts or not, yeah. Or if you think it's the Cowboys defense, who, never forget, they gave up 5 passing plays of 15-plus yards in the first quarter alone yesterday. And then on Jordan Love's first 14 dropbacks, they got 1 pressure. So, now, I do feel like that second element started to change throughout the game. It still wasn't great, but it started to change. So there's that.
Okay. Did you feel, you're right, it did feel like it started to change. I don't know what exactly was the difference. It was just what Eberflus was dialing up, or the defensive front said, hey, I'm just not having any of this crap anymore. But what was, did you feel like he was made uncomfortable in the pocket later in the game?
Yes.
And then later in the game, again, he got back to being comfortable. Like, it did feel like late in the game, he was more comfortable again.
Because I think part of the reason that happened as the game went along, too, is the Cowboys' run defense let them down. And so now it felt like you had viable options either way. Because I felt like maybe the Cowboys were like, all right, we can amp up our pressure just a little bit because we're doing just fine stopping the run, or they're not running the ball a lot. But that felt like it started to fall apart. And then, obviously, the pass coverage leaves something to be desired throughout that entire game. Now, I'm going to go and play cut 6. I know on the surface, this is a cool play. And it is also the most efficient field storming in maybe the history of college football. The reason why I'm going to put this on there is, are the Virginia fans wankers of the weekend for what I can only assume was them trampling 2 kids to death? Because if you have not seen this video,
yeah, dude,
it is terrifying for the DB and the wide receiver.
Here comes the blitz. Castellanos in trouble. Heaves one towards the end zone. Intercepted. It's over. Virginia has done it.
So by the time he says Virginia has done it, it looks like they have kids like out at the 15-yard line. Like, they run out there, but the Florida State receiver and the DB are just, they disappear
under
those people. And like, when you're in a mob like that, I never ended up seeing if they had any injuries or anything. I thought those kids might be in serious, serious danger, because that was scary, man.
How were those people allowed to be on the field like that for that play.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me because you should have a buffer. There should be some buffer there.
I got you.
And quite honestly, the kids should provide that buffer too.
Right.
Like they should understand. I understand everybody wants to rush the field. I get it. I understand also there's some fines that are involved in it. But you got to give some people an opportunity because, Kevin, that was scary. Like, yeah.
I'm not kidding.
And they were
really
laying on
was.
The ground. The pass put them on the ground. It's not like they were standing up and just, all right, y'all run around me.
Yeah.
They were laying on the ground when I saw that. So that's scary, man.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Now, one more college note, although we will hit the Tuesday tailgate with Carter Freeman tomorrow. Is James Franklin the wanker of the weekend? He is now 4-21 at Penn State against top 10 teams.
Squirrel White was reportedly unharmed.
Oh, great.
So he was caught up in the mix, but reportedly unharmed. 19 people were treated due to undisclosed health policy things. But yeah, 19 people got injured, but not him.
That feels like a minor miracle.
And all of his players made it to the locker room.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
there you go.
Good. So James Franklin is now 4-21 at Penn State against top 10 teams and 1-18 against top 10 teams in the Big Ten. His 160 winning percentage is tied for the third worst by a coach at a single school since the poll era began in 1936. Now, I know there's some people listening out there that their poll era probably started before then. But I think in this case, it means like the voting polls and whatnot. So there's that. All right. Now,
is he a good coach?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I
used to think so.
I agree. We both were kind of, before he got to Penn State, we were like, this dude is actually pretty good at what he does.
I thought it was a great hire.
I haven't quite understood where he is on this thing. It seems like Penn State's going
to
be good.
It's tough to argue because, like, on the one hand, I mean, his team is consistently up there. Maybe he's just a really good recruiter or his staff is filled with good recruiters. Because when it comes to all of the games that define you as a coach in a program, he fails time and time and time again. Now, speaking of failures, are American golfers the wanker of the weekend? Because they fell behind early, and after the third session, they were down by 5 shots. That was tied for the biggest road advantage in Ryder Cup history after the third session. Now, America, they made a go at it in the singles matches, but they still lost 15-13. So is it American golfers or is it American fans that are wanker of the weekend? Because I know there was a lot of thought about how rowdy those fans were.
Is that a bad thing? Do we not want rowdy fans?
So
we need a home.
I agree.
Course advantage.
But there were a couple of European players who were like, look, man, I knew it was going to be rowdy and stuff, but some of the stuff they said in terms of like spouses and other things, that was out of bounds. I'll never quite understand.
That's where we are right now.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. I'll never quite understand like, oh, hey, your wife's in the stands, so I'm going to heckle her. Why?
Mm-hmm.
What does she do? She's not golfing. You're not going to get in. I mean, you're going to get into her head, but it's not going to make any difference on what happens out on the course.
You know what it's going to make difference in, though, when she gets home that night. And maybe it's like Saturday night, Friday night. You get back to the house or whatever, and now she's like, oh my gosh, did you hear what they said about me? And now you're sitting there going, I'm trying to focus.
Yeah.
I'm trying to focus on, don't even go out there tomorrow. Matter of fact.
So that was.
And now you're getting divorced.
That was this. Wow.
Because you're rude.
That was the strategy from the 817. Rory McIlroy is the wanker of the weekend for being a whiny bee the whole tournament. Now, these are two options, Corey, but I have a third, and you can only pick one, like the Highlander. Is it the American golfers, the American golf fans, or is it the envelope rule?
Envelope rule.
This has got to be one of the stupidest rules in all of sports.
What is the envelope rule?
So the envelope rule, because Europe had a player who he said, I think it was neck issues, and he wasn't going to be able to play. Okay, you lose, forfeit, 1 point America. Except that's not what they do. They have the envelope rule, where in this case, the United States captain is going to put one name of his player in an envelope, and then that person's not going to play, just as like the injured person is not going to play, and you split the match. All right, this is stupid for a couple of different reasons. First of all, you're clearly going to hurt that player's feelings.
Yeah,
because you're like, you're the worst. I didn't think you could score us a point. I don't even know why you're on this team. Secondly, in what other venue of sports is someone hurt and you're like, all right, it's a tie? Like, that doesn't happen.
Dude, how cool would it be if in the NBA you had to put a frozen envelope? I mean, just a regular envelope.
Yeah, I think it was a regular one.
All right, or a frozen one. It's up to you. You had to put a frozen envelope out there and it had your free throw shooting replacement. And it's got to be your worst free throw shooter. And so let's say your starter gets injured and you're down your last shot. This is it. Free throws to win the game or lose the game. We got to go to the envelope. That would be awesome, dude. That would be so cool.
Yeah.
Tell me it wouldn't. Oh my gosh, they're going to the envelope. And then, like, I know the NBA, like, last 5 minutes takes 2 hours. I get it.
Right.
But now I'm totally in for those 5 minutes that it's going to take to go get the frozen envelope out of the freezer. Bring it down to the court and then open it up and read it in front of everybody. Then we get those shots.
Okay. I mean, look, I am intrigued by this idea. From the 903, we probably haven't talked about this enough. Is Chris Collinsworth the wanker of the weekend for making it sound like Jack Sanborn was peak Sean Lee out there? Because he's like, oh man, look at him fly around the field. And you're like, really? Are we seeing the same? Look,
we've been watching a lot of Jack Sanborn, and we're probably starting to get down on him a little bit.
I appreciate the fact that even though his back was turned, or if he could have got it to ricochet off his foot, we would have won the game. But at least he was standing in front of a wide receiver when he got pegged in the back to help us eventually tie the game. But I don't feel like that's a good representation. Chris Collinsworth shouted out Dante Fowler and Jack Sanborn for being awesome on this defense this year. What?
Did Trayvon Diggs get juked out at the goal line, or why did he turn around? Why did he turn in a circle on that touchdown from Josh Jacobs? He was going left, and then he continued to go left and got out of the way of Josh Jacobs. It did look like he was trying to go for the cut to go outside.
Because okay, I'm not going to say
he got spun around.
I think that's fair, because I'm not going to say business decision Trayvon Diggs yesterday, because he had a couple of tackles that I was like, good
job.
Yeah,
that screenplay that he stopped in the backfield, that was a really smart play. He read Jordan Love's eyes and got back there real fast. He just got shook on this one. I'm going to say he got shook and not business decision.
Okay.
Jack Sanborn, though, Kevin, here my belief, because I was probably at the forefront of the Jack Sanborn fan club. Mm. Remember, I brought his name up a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, a friend of mine says that he's going to be a Cowboy. And then he was a Cowboy. And I was like, all right, here we go. I always believed he would be a special teams backup kind of guy. Yet somehow they don't have a player better than him.
Right.
And Flus likes this guy because he understands his scheme. But it just doesn't look like he's always two or three steps behind.
Yes.
And that's where my frustration is right now.
Yeah, it does. And then I wanted to throw out at least one more. Cheryl Reeve, the Minnesota Lynx coach, she was suspended a game, and then that ended up being the end of the season because her team lost. that ensuing game, and she went off on the WNBA officials, and she was like, look, she called first their officiating malpractice, but then said, if this is what the league wants, okay, but I want to call for a change of leadership at the league level when it comes to officiating. The officiating crew we had tonight for the leadership to deem those three people semi-final playoff worthy, it's effing malpractice.
Wow.
She only got suspended one game, or you could say she got suspended for the rest of the season because they lost.
Kevin, another wanker of the weekend, neck injuries.
Is there a new one?
Nnamdi Madubuike is out for the season.
I told you last week, man, I told you last week that when I heard somebody was like, oh, he's not going to play this weekend. And I was like, that is a longer term issue that the Ravens were concerned about. Remember, we talked about it at a time when the Ravens defense has all kinds of concerns. He's going to be out for the rest of the year. That sucks.
Yep.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.